Okay, so we're going to move into the message now. And as James helpfully said, we're looking at this theme, are you ready? Are we ready to grow? And that's the focus this morning. So back to school. We've had a bit of a back to school, back to education, back to work focus for many of us. We're into September. And now, how are you feeling? Are you feeling optimistic, excited? Are you feeling daunted? Unsure. Actually, is it just another week? And it could be, you know, November. It doesn't really matter that it's September the 1st. But it's important, isn't it, at key times in the year to look at our situation and go, well, how am I doing? How am I going to use my time? How am I going to plan my kind of work and my rest? Nadia and I had one of those kind of diary checking, calendar synchronizing times the other evening where we were thinking about when we would exercise, how we would kind of do hospitality, how we would manage our kind of family life, work life, our leisure time, all these things. And it's important, isn't it, to think how can we structure our week? And people like me that are quite structured maybe can connect with that. Maybe you're sat here thinking, oh, I just kind of make it up each day as I go. And we're all different. But when it comes to this kind of time of year, it's a good opportunity to think, how can I grow? How can I move on? And that's spiritually as well as in the practical areas of life. Plants are one obvious example of growth. They grow through light and water and good soil. Exercise is another one, isn't it? It doesn't just happen, and our growing kind of strength in our muscles doesn't just happen. We have to put time in. We have to go to the gym, do the training, but also eat well, rest well, sleep well. Without those things, we struggle. Lots of growth in different areas. Just on Saturday, a week ago, we went to Revolution Rock Climbing Centre as a family down in Broadstairs. Who's been? Anyone been? Yeah, a few guys here. It's great fun. Now, this is Joss. She's only 3.5, and she's scaling this wall. She's growing in confidence. She's growing in her awareness of how to use her body at a young age. And she's doing what she can to get up this kind of wall section. I'm just out of the shot. I kind of cropped it to make it look even better. But I was there. You know, if you're a parent, you know that feeling where you have to dive in and catch them at the last moment. I was kind of feeling that. But there's a nice crash mat at the bottom. She didn't fall off, though she did demand to be taken off rather than climb down. But it was a moment where I thought, this little one is growing in confidence. She's growing in physical attributes. She's seeking to take after, in fact, her mother, who was taking on an overhang and was higher up and smiling, unlike Joss, who was looking slightly concerned. And actually, it kind of struck me as I was preparing this, that why is growing so important? Well, for Joss, she wants to grow to become like her mum. She wants to scale these overhangs and get up these high challenges. She wants to grow in confidence as a person. And in the school setting, that's the same, isn't it? We want to see people learning and growing and understanding how to pass exams, but more than that, how to do life well, how to grow in character, how to be a person that contributes to society. Development is essential. But for us as Christians, if we follow Jesus, what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, one of the verses in Romans says this. It says in Romans 8, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So if our kind of goal or destination is to become more like Jesus, to be conformed to his image, then Joss wants to be conformed a bit like to the image of her mum by being able to clamber up these kind of walls, by being confident in having fun at these activities. Well, we want to become more like Jesus, be conformed to him. That's the purpose for us as individuals and us as a church. And so as we think about, are we ready to grow? The question is, are you ready? Are you engaging in the opportunities to grow? If the environment matters, so for plants you've got water and soil and light, for muscles and exercise and fitness you might have kind of time at the gym and good food, lots of protein, sleep, all those things. What is it for the Christian? How do we grow? Well, we know that the Bible actually says quite clearly that it's God that makes us grow. We can't do it ourselves. We need His help. We need His Spirit working through the Word of God, the Bible, the fellowship of other Christians. Those things are key. But there are things that we can think about applying in our life that help rather than hinder that. So what are they? Before I look at Ephesians 4 and kind of unpack some of what the Bible says about this, I just want to highlight a few reasons why we need to grow and maybe some of the obstacles. The first one is this. It says, fighting this is just me problem, okay? So what stops us from growing in our faith? Because if we're honest, it's hard, isn't it? Here we go again, another September, another January, whatever point in the year we might get to. And we want to grow spiritually. We want to know more of the Bible. Maybe we want to pray for longer. We want to use our gifts more. We want to be wiser. But there's something that makes it hard. And we have to fight one of the things that maybe goes through your mind, which is, this is just me. It's a bit like the fitness thing. I just can't run a 5K. I can't lift those weights. I just can't do it. I'm not like other people. This is just me. And the world kind of says, just be yourself. You don't have to be anything other. Which is kind of good, but it's not it. The gospel says, you can change by God's Spirit changing you. By looking at Jesus and falling in line with His will for you to become like Him. So we need to fight the, this is just me. I can't do it. This is what it says in 1 Peter 2. It says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, and of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow in your salvation. So Peter there is talking to the church saying, look, fight the natural tendency to just kind of accept life as it is, to in fact be pursuing things that are bad and wrong and end up being slanderous and malicious and hypocritical. And instead, like a newborn baby, crave milk, pure spiritual milk, because that's what's going to grow you. So what is this milk? What is it that makes us grow up like a baby grows rapidly in our salvation? Well, Peter goes on to explain, it's the gospel, it's the word of truth, it's being with other Christians, it's following God's ways, not your own ways. And then in Hebrews, this theme of milk carries on, and it says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So we need to crave pure spiritual milk, but also move on to solid food. Realize that if we want to grow in our faith, we've got to do something about it. We've got to seek to learn more about the Bible. Understand what it means to have a character that is God-like, Christ-like, that is able to move on from the basics of the Christian faith into knowing more of the joy of what the good news of Jesus is and what that looks like in practice. So fighting this is just me, because God's word, the Bible says, crave pure spiritual milk. Move on to solid food. We've got to do something about it. And then the second thing we need to fight is, oh, I just keep failing. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like sometimes you get up early to read your Bible and then it just is boring? Or it's just confusing? Or it's just sends you to sleep? Whatever the issue may be, you're failing. You want to, but you just struggle. Or maybe it's not reading the Bible, it's even coming to church, and you meant to, but you just got distracted by life's other options on a Sunday, or you want to know God more, but you just find that you keep messing up and letting people down and letting yourself down. The Christian gospel is about grace. So when we fail, we turn and we go, I can come back to God. I can be forgiven and restart. That phrase that quite often you hear at Barton, never stop restarting. Keep doing that. That is the gospel of grace. That is what we depend upon. So that if we fail, if we feel like we're just going backwards rather than forwards, we come back to Him and go, Lord, help me grow. Because don't forget, God's purpose is our growth. So if that's His purpose, to become like Jesus, then let's get on the same page and pursue that. And then the third temptation, the third area we need to fight is, oh, I'm doing fine. Maybe you, rather than false humility or self-pity is your issue, maybe it's self-righteousness. Maybe it's pride. Actually, this is what I struggle more with than, oh, I've failed again. It's reminding myself, no, I'm not fine. I need to keep growing. So I don't know, maybe you've been to church for years, you've grown up, you've listened to loads of sermons, and here we go again. Yep, I'm going to grow in my faith, but I'm actually doing okay. I'm in a life group, I'm kind of going to church regularly, I'm kind of reading my Bible, it's even on my app, on my phone, and I'm kind of living, my work colleagues know I'm a Christian. I'm there, I've made it. We've got to fight that temptation, because that sounds a lot like complacency. That sounds a lot like being lukewarm. And those are things that the Bible quite clearly challenges. God says, no, you're not doing fine. You can't ever do fine. The desire must always be grow, because there's more. There's more of God to discover, to learn. There's more to do in your world of reaching out to others. See this image there? This is a bunch of triathletes. We've got a few in the congregation. I could kind of do two of the elements, but not the third. I'm a rubbish swimmer. So the idea of me swimming in the open sea or even in a pool is a bit much. The running part, fine. Cycling, yeah, it's just, you know, going around pedals, isn't it? It's not hard. Everyone can cycle. Swimming, whoa. Now, if a triathlete says they're doing fine, in running, that's okay, in cycling. But if one element is a struggle, the whole thing falls apart. If your transition is bad, if you can't get your wetsuit off, you're in trouble. You've got to do it quickly. Otherwise, everything else gets impacted. If you decide to start doing a triathlon, it doesn't just happen. Oh, I'll be all right. I'll be fine. You've got to put the work in. You've got to aim at actually training in those disciplines, and without that, there's a trouble. So why do we need to grow? We've got to fight pride, self-righteousness, self-pity, that, oh, this is just me, and grow. So let's now look at Ephesians 4. I've kind of introduced the theme, and we're going to just spend a bit of time working through this and hopefully seeing what our priorities for growth should be. The first two verses say, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So Paul here is writing from the prison cell, and he's saying, I'm in prison, but I'm going to urge you this. This is the thing that I want you to know, that it is so important to live a life worthy of the calling you've received, worthy of God, of Christ, of the gospel. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't often feel like my life lives in a way that is worthy of the good news of Jesus. Like, that is so good, and I often am so not. But the desire that Paul has here is, do it. I urge you to live a life like that. And what does it look like? It looks like this. Be completely humble. Completely. Not a bit. Completely. Wow, the bar's just kind of staying up here high, isn't it? Completely humble and gentle and patient and bear with one another in love. This is about character. This is about character, not theory, not knowledge. So let's just straight away recognize that our growth isn't about knowing more facts about the Bible, knowing more about church history, or about experiences. What we see here is a life that is worthy of the calling is about our character and heart formation, being people that can bear with others that are different because they love them, that can hold or bite their tongue and be patient rather than snap back with an irritable, sarcastic comment, that are gentle when the first reaction might be anger. Instead, we're gentle. How on earth do we be like that? We want to be like that, don't we? And it's only God that can help us and enable us to be like that, because it is God that makes us grow. But this is where the emphasis is in Paul's letter. So why do I need to keep growing? Well, because we want to be shaped into people with a character that is Christ-like. One of the things I said I did on my sabbatical was read lots. I love reading. And I realized that for me to grow spiritually and also in character, I need to be reading good Christian books. There's a bookstore down there. You can see that. Dive into it. If you've read a book, good book, don't just keep it to yourself. Recommend it to someone. Share it with someone. Get them reading it, thinking about it, talking about it. It can help us grow. But I've got a journal here, full from 3 months of thoughts, ideas, stuff God's been saying to me from the books, from the Bible. The challenge now is that I implement it. I've got it, and it could just collect dust. God wants us to grow in character by moving from understanding truth to living it out. What does Paul say next? Verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Why do I need to keep growing? Well, because unity is the focus of that growth, as well as character. So character that is loving and humble and patient leads to us being able to be united. If we're not those things, unity is going to be a real challenge. So we've got to work on our inner character in order to be able to be a church that's united. And notice that what it says here, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. We don't create that unity, God does. God does through the gospel, through his Son, making the way possible for us to know the Father and be in a relationship of peace with him, because he died on a cross so that our sins could be forgiven, so that our relationship with God could be restored. And he gives us his Spirit, who is the one that enables us to become more like him, but also unite as a fellowship. And what did those verses say? One body, one Spirit, one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. That's seven ones, all right? Seven is a number of perfection and wholeness. Paul's used seven things here to kind of go, this is it. This is one group, one thing. God is one, and he invites us to be one with him, to join him in his unity. And so what is the challenge for our growth? Yes, character, but also let's make every effort to be a people that are united, that are together, because that's who God is and what his will is for us, for you, for me, for Barton Church. Augustine said, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. That helps, doesn't it? We unite. Not just in any old thing, but we unite in Jesus, in our faith, in the gospel, in God. In the areas where there are differing views and perspectives, we show liberty. And in all things, we're charitable, we're gracious, we're loving, we're considerate. our vision over the last few years has kind of referred to this. We've got a new website, by the way. Do check it out if you haven't yet. But on our website, it says transforming lives, communities, and culture. Our vision for Barton is to be a growing church numerically and in our faith. Wow, it's a little bit blurry for me to read. But we want to be a community that is living for Jesus in every sphere of life, a community that is being equipped to serve him, a community that is training leaders to be sent out locally, nationally, internationally to impact lives, community, and culture. That's kind of what we want to strive to be. But that can only happen if we are united as a church in God. And then practicing that through making every effort through the way that we love one another and build one another up and grow together in that. Just imagine what a united church is like on mission, on your front line, sharing the good news of Jesus with others, able to support those in need, the poor, those struggling life circumstances, bringing the gospel in a real way to a city that so needs it. That's the vision that we have. We're going to be reaffirming that and sharpening it up in a few weeks' time when we have Vision Sunday. But being a church hasn't changed over 2,000 years. It's, on one level, very simple. Living out the gospel so that others know God. And then in Ephesians 4, we find the next thing that Paul encourages the church to be like. Let me read it from verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who has descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So growing is about giving, not getting. So how else and why else do we need to grow? Well, we grow in character, we grow in unity, but we grow in the ability to give. And we give because God has given to us through Jesus. What did Jesus do? He gave his life. But more than that, after his resurrection, he gave his spirit, the spirit that now lives in us. And one way that we know that is that he gives to each one of us the grace that's been given as Christ apportions it. And then in verse 8 later, Christ gave gifts to his people. Then verse 11, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Not because they're great and others aren't, but to equip the saints, the people, for works of service. So God is a God who gives, and he calls us to be a people that give rather than take. Yes, we receive the gifts he gives us, but then we live that out by using our gifts and giving them to others. So we exercise the gifts that God has given us, teaching or administration or helps or hospitality. We love others through what God has given us, as Christ has apportioned it. See, so often we can think that we'll grow by consuming, by taking in. But what happens to the athlete that does too much of that and not enough training? They get overweight. What happens to the plant that has too much water? It drowns and dies. What happens to us if we just think that we're going to grow by consuming stuff but not practically doing things, not actually serving others? So we find that actually a biblical church is a serving church. And that is possible as those leadership roles within the church equip the church for the works of service. So a church is a growing church, a serving church, a church that is focused on equipping others so that we can reach those that don't know Jesus and build them up to know Jesus themselves. I don't know about you, but there's a point in life suddenly, I don't know what age, I was trying to work it out, you get to an age where your birthday, suddenly you're almost more excited about other people's birthdays than your own. At least I've had that experience. So, you know, you're a child and you love getting gifts, receiving gifts, and you can't wait and you can't sleep the night before. It's really exciting. But the older you get, the less kind of you can't sleep the night before, at least that's my experience. And maybe the presents that you receive, you're grateful for them, I hope. I hope I am. But maybe I'm almost prefer to give than I do to receive. You almost, it changes. It doesn't stay the same. Ethan even had his birthday 2 weeks ago, and he was excited about it. But for the first time, he said, "Oh, I'm not quite as excited as I used to be about my birthday." He's only 10, so maybe, you know, oh dear, maybe we need to look at how we're doing his birthday and kind of make a bit more of it. But when we grow up, we discover that it's not all about receiving and consuming and getting. In fact, life is more about the kind of life that God has given us, giving, loving. That's what it's about, giving and serving others before ourselves. That is in the heart of God, and that is at the heart of what maturity looks like. So if that's what the first part of the passage is, the next part's going to kind of flesh it out practically for us. But you can see here a bunch of a line of paint pots. Now, I used to work for a DIY store, and once a year, we'd do an annual stock take. If you've worked in retail, you probably know what I'm talking about. You count everything on the shop floor and in the warehouse, and you send it to head office, and they tell you whether you've kind of got too much stuff or not enough stuff, and you do a stock count. You check everything. And maybe now we kind of need to do that at this point for how we're going to carry on growing. What stock take do you need to give yourself? Is it about how you spend time with God alone? Is it about how you spend time with others and God in groups? Is it about how you use your money, your working hours, your leisure time? What's the stock take that you need to do on yourself? Because as we do that, and if we're striving for growth and maturity, like this passage says, then it means we kind of need to do this stock count, this check, in order to know how we can grow and carry on growing. You might have noticed, but in verse 12, there's this phrase built up that comes up once. The body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of Christ. See, where is this going? God wants us collectively and individually to be growing up into the fullness of Christ. Oh my goodness, how on earth are we going to ever achieve that? Well, only by God's grace and his help and his word and other people. But let's aim at that, guys. Let's strive for that. Paul is urging the church in Ephesus for that. And that speaks to us too. So how can we grow? A few practical things from the final verses. One, we'll be united in our faith in Jesus Christ, not our opinions. That's the first point I want to make. Now, unity came up at the start, verse 3, but also then in verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith. So let's start there. God wants us to be united, not in anything, in Jesus Christ, in the knowledge of the Son of God. As we're united in him, as we fix ourselves around him, we can grow. Without that, we can't. So that's what we unite in. Now, what does that mean for us? Maybe not having the last word. Maybe being more open-minded to others. Maybe being more humble and listening to others who have got a different opinion about what we should do and the decisions we make. Being more relationally humble. Don't forget, be completely humble is what Paul started this chapter with. And that leads to a point of being more united in the main thing. So firstly, we'll look like a church that is so fixed on Christ and united in him. The next verse 14, helps us see how else we can practically grow. Then we'll no longer be infants, so the then is because you'll be mature in Christ. You'll be a body of believers, a church that is growing to become more like Jesus. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. So we'll be full of godly wisdom, not worldly confusion. That's what it sounds like to me, this worldly confusion being tossed to and fro by every wave of thinking and thought and new idea and philosophy, rather than being anchored in the gospel of Jesus, in the word of God, the Bible, in the truth that we're united in. So unity matters because it enables us to be wise, not foolish. Will be rooted in God. And therefore, when different teachings come along, we'll go, well, we know the truth, and that smells like something that's not the truth. That's a lie. That's false teaching. That's going to lead us down the wrong path, not God's path. So let's watch out for the winds and the waves that are there to knock us. And then the third thing we find in verse 15 and 16, it says instead of that kind of being tossed to and fro and affected by the wind and waves, instead, speaking the truth in love will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. So we've got a few themes there, haven't we? One of which is love. Speak the truth in love. But also serve practically in love. Look at the last verse. It says, every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work, does its job, plays its part. So we grow through our character leading to action change. Through our speech, loving words, truthful but loving, loving actions, using our gifts that God has given us to serve him. I'm not going to spend too long talking about that because we've got a preach on serving in a few weeks' time. But we'll be using our grace gifts with loving words and loving actions. That's what Paul is encouraging the church, and that's what we can be encouraged to do. As we grow, it has an output. We love others practically and through encouraging them. So are you ready to grow? That's a question that I've been asking through this message. There's a picture there of a trellis and a bit of a vine, a plant kind of struggling a bit to grow up it. Maybe you're feeling a bit like this. The trellis is a bit rotten. It's not full of doing what it is there, but it needs some work. What work do you need to do on your spiritual life, your emotional, practical working life? How could you change the environment so that God can do his growing work in you more? Do you need to look at your own time with God? Do you need to get back into a place where you really desire him like that pure spiritual milk, like an infant desires? Rely on God's grace for that. But do you need to look at that? Because one day we want to be more like a trellis like this, covered in life, in the effects of growth of a good spring. We want to be a church that is got the structures in place so that people can grow, not just life groups and Sunday church, but midweek real relationships that build others up. How are you growing? How can you carry on growing? I'm going to pray that we'd be a church that desires to grow. Let me do that now. Lord God, I pray that you would enable us to be the kind of church that is so set on becoming more like Jesus that we take every opportunity there is to grow. In the Bible, in prayer, in worship, in the use of our gifts, in loving speech and loving action, in caring for those that are lost and don't know you, in serving those that are in need, in being united in you. Help us to be that kind of church. But Lord, maybe the starting point is just coming back to who you are, receiving your grace, seeking you so that we can love others. Help us, Lord, I pray. Amen.